God bless you, dear brethren. We are here at Radio Blast today with Brother Joseph. Hello, Joseph.
Thank you for having me. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
And today we will talk about a very important subject, which is kind of the foundation of our faith. We need to understand very well the subject of salvation, the salvation of our souls, the salvation that Jesus came to give us. How exactly does it work? Because this most important issue has in the Christian world so many different opinions. And some Christians believe you can lose salvation, some say you cannot lose salvation. And what do the scriptures say? Some use scriptures with kind of, some scriptures kind of show that, yes, you can lose it. Other scriptures show, no, you cannot lose it. So there's quite a conflict about this.
Well, the idea came to me to record about this message. I was listening to a message by dear John Bevere, I always pray for him. He's a great man of God, and him and his wife, they have wonderful messages, and they always inspire me.
It's true.
God bless him. He's a great
We read some of his books, and we learned a lot about intimacy with Christ, about fear of the Lord. Also, the trap of offense was quite a revelation the Lord gave him. And it really helped us to see traps of the devil in our lives, which we never even noticed. Very good teachings.
Yeah, however, I was listening to his message, which is wonderful. But I wanted to talk a little bit about the subject of losing salvation. Mm-hmm. All right? I know he talks a lot about that. Losing salvation, and I have some scriptures about it, because I don't believe you can lose salvation. I don't believe once Jesus gives you eternal salvation, eternal life, and saves you from the lake of fire, and then you make a certain type of a mistake, he sends you back to the lake of fire again. He says, sorry, mistake, I'll take you back. I don't believe that. I think you can lose your crown, you can lose your blessings, you get in trouble, and everything. Commit adultery, you definitely get in trouble, beginning with your wife. And be careful, your wife is a big one. You get more trouble than she can beat you up. Quotes, unquote. All right. So definitely get in trouble if you... But even adultery, Jesus can forgive you that too if you repent sincerely. Like we see in John chapter 8, an adulterous woman. We see in 2 Samuel chapter 11, 12, David and Bathsheba. No, God can forgive that too, in the presence of a real repentance, all right? So I don't agree with this, all right? I want to bless him and Lisa 100%, my full heart. They have my full support and blessing.
Amen.
I disagree with these doctrines about losing salvation, and I have a few scriptures, if I may.
Well, let's hear them.
I believe it proved that that is wrong to say that you can lose salvation.
Well, amen. We better find out, because everything depends on that, actually.
Yeah, let's see. Today I'm going to stick my foot in the mouth, or if the scriptures stand. This is for everyone to judge. I understand that this doctrine is about losing salvation, and that Jesus taking away your salvation after he gave it to you is becoming a little bit too popular among certain teachings and teachers in the world, in the Christian world. So in all humility, I want to say that this doctrine doesn't seem to be neither scriptural, neither loving, nor consistent with God's character, not his peace-giving promises, eternal peace, eternal salvation, eternal life, eternal love. If the loving Father asks us to forgive each other 70 times 7 a day, in other words, always, can we think that he would forgive us any less than that? So before we go to the scripture, I'd like to mention that, first of all, there is not just the book of life, which like John brought out in Revelation, in some of his videos, he brings up Revelation chapter 3:5. Can you read it? Revelation 3:5, please.
Yes.
The New King James.
All right. Revelation 3.
3:5. The Book of Life.
New King James.
Because people said you can be raised from the Book of Life. Correctly so. Go ahead.
Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the Book of Life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
Okay, so correctly some preachers say, well, you can be raised. He's talking to a church. Yes, I agree with that. That
See,
is not
only if you overcome, you won't be raised. Otherwise, you will be raised.
Yeah, if you don't overcome, basically it's by works.
Yeah.
In fact, if you go to Revelation 20:15, it says more or less the same thing. It's by works. It's a book that you're saved by works, basically. Go ahead, read the Revelation 20:15, please.
20:15. And anyone not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire.
Okay, and
this is also
13.
Yeah. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to their works.
Okay, that's 13?
That was 13.
Okay, perfect. So, Revelation 20, 13 and 15, it says, judge by their works. Not by the blood of Jesus, not by the grace of Jesus, not at all. Just works. This is the Book of Life that is talking about Revelation 3:5, which you just read. But, it's like, the Lord has been speaking to me a lot in the past few years, as you well know. And the Lord helped me to understand that something very, very wonderful, which it gives me a lot of joy. All right. And that there is another book. There's another book which is, besides the Book of Life, which you judge by works. All right. There is another book, Revelation 21:27. What is it called, this book? Let's read the scripture.
Revelation 21:27. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Attention, please. Here, we have a second book, all right? The Book of Jesus.
The Lamb's Book of Life.
Yeah, the Book of Jesus, Book of Christ, the Book of the Lamb.
It's not the same book because it sounds almost the same.
Well, sometimes it's written, you know, but here it's very clear. Okay? So, it's the Book of the Lamb. All right, and read the Revelation just to show you what an incredible book this is. Read where it talks about the Antichrist, the Mark of the Beast, the people worshiping the devil, worshiping the Antichrist, receiving the Mark of the Beast. Of course, if you receive the Mark of the Beast, it applies Revelation 3:5, that you can be raised from the Book of Life. Right? A Christian who received the Mark of the Beast, 666, which according to Revelation 14:9, received the Mark of the Beast, Revelation 14:9, you go to hell, lake of fire, it says.
Okay.
So definitely, it applies, Revelation 3:5, that you can be erased. All right? But attention, the people were written in the other book of the Lamb, what happens to them? Let's go to the chapter of the Antichrist, Revelation 13, 3, the last part.
Revelation 13. All the world marveled and followed the beast.
Yeah, keep going. 3.
So they worshipped the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him?
Is that verse 3?
That's verse 4.
Did you read 3?
I read 3, the second part. All the world then marveled and followed the beast.
So it says all the world?
Marveled and followed the beast.
So that's what I want to say. All the world followed the beast, the Antichrist, the devil, Mark of the Beast, received the Mark of the Beast. And Revelation 14:9, you go to hell. But just a second. When it says all the world, of course, it's symbolic. It doesn't, because it means all the world reject Christ. But in verse 8, what does it say? Attention, very important scripture.
Revelation 13:8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him whose names have not been written in the book of the life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world.
You understand, it says here the whole world will worship him except those who are written in the book of the Lamb.
Uh-huh.
Now, those who are written in the book of life, all right, Revelation 3:5, yes, they can be raised, they can receive the mark of the beast. But those who are written in the book of the Lamb, they cannot. Because they have a special protection, understand?
and who is written in the Book of the Lamb.
Yeah, those who truly, now we're going to give study a little bit today, truly gave their heart to Jesus. Okay, so in the Book of Life was already in existence in the Old Testament, but not the Book of the Lamb. God only introduced it after Jesus came.
Because he's the Lamb.
It is the Lamb. Before the Lamb, it couldn't be the Book of the Lamb. In this book, as we will read, in which the Loving Father records only those that can enter into New Jerusalem, such as the Virgin with oil, and no one else. This is the Book of the Lamb. All right, I hope everybody forgives my Italian accent, but it comes free of cost if there is no overcharge for that.
Ah, you give it for free?
Sorry, Joyce. Okay, you're Hungarian, so you have a different accent.
That's another one.
Okay, as you, most of you know, like we have been missionary a long time in Eastern Europe, and that's where Angela, many years ago, started working with us.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. So I hope you, the accent is okay. We're broadcasting all over the world. We have been followed by sweet little sheep from about 50 countries. So we broadcast in different languages, all right? And, okay, so in the Old Testament, I want to say, I would agree with John Bevere. Yes, one could lose eternal life in the Old Testament, just as Adam and Eve and others lost the eternal life. Of course, in the Old Testament, that was the Book of Life.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as God told Ezekiel, I'll give you some scripture. Do you have them?
Okay. Yes.
Ezekiel 18, do you have it there?
Ezekiel 18, verse 4.
All right.
Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die.
Okay, that's the Book of the Life. So you sin a certain sin, you die.
That's the Old Testament.
That's the Old Testament. God said to Moses, Exodus 32:32-33.
Exodus 32. Yet now, if you will forgive their sins, but if not, I pray, blot me out of your book which you have written. And the Lord said to Moses, whoever has sinned against me, I will blot him out of my book.
All right, he keeps saying, I'll just erase from my book. Mm-hmm. Even Jesus told the church of Sardis we talked before, repeat it again, Revelation 3:5, please.
Revelation 3:5. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garment, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels.
Okay, so this certainly is the book of life, which I agree with all the brethren sincerely, but preach, you can be raised correctly. It's written, yes, you can be raised. But this is the book of life. But here is the good news. Then, what's the good news? Jesus comes.
Amen.
So,
amen.
Well, basically, Jesus began to teach about these things. Look, we read already Revelation 21:7, where I don't know if you want to read it again. And about the book of the Lamb, do I need to remind you?
Yeah, it's good to know very well the difference between the two books.
Go ahead, you can read it
again. Especially to see what in the scriptures it talks about them.
Right, go ahead, Revelation 21:7 again.
21:27.
21:27, perfect, yeah.
But there shall by no means enter anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life.
Okay, these are the respective scriptures about the two books.
It talk about here?
Okay, 21:27?
Yeah.
It talks about New Jerusalem, that only those written in the book of the Lamb can enter into New Jerusalem. That's the bride. That's okay. This is the Virgin
all
with
right,
oil.
All right.
This is the door. This in Matthew 25, the Virgin with oil, that they go in, the door is shut, and the Virgin with no oil, they cannot go in. What's the door? What's the wedding chamber? That's New Jerusalem. That nobody can go in, it says here, Revelation 21:27. Nobody can go in except those written in the book of the Lamb. Okay, so this is not the book of life, you can be raised. This is the book of Lamb, you cannot be raised. In fact, in John 6:47, you should have it there, if you can read it, please.
Again, John?
John 6:47.
6:47. It says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life.
All right. So Jesus make it very simple. He doesn't say he that overcomes. No. You don't have to overcome nothing. You just
only
have
believe.
You just have to overcome the devil one time, receive Jesus, and you're saved. And then, so you can lose your eternal life. What do you lose if you're not faithful? You lose your crown. Revelation 3:11.
So I believe, and I'm saved. And what happens if tomorrow I sin?
Tomorrow you sin, then the Lord has a provision for that.
Oh, what do you mean?
In Matthew 18:21 says, "You shall forgive your brother 21:7." 70 times 7 a day. 490 times a day.
You mean God forgives me automatically, or is there anything I must do to be
you
forgiven?
Need to repent full heart.
I need to repent.
You need to repent.
And let's say I believe, I have everlasting life, I sin, and I don't repent, what happens?
If you don't repent, you're not saved.
Ah, I'm not saved.
No, because in Romans chapter 2, I think verse 4, it says the Holy Spirit brings us to repentance.
But you mean I'm not saved because I lose it on the spot? Or in what sense?
No, if you're saved, the Holy Spirit will always take you, lead you to repentance, which is the prerequisite of forgiveness. Mm. So if you're saved, Jesus is in your heart, sooner or later, like he did with David, situation of Bathsheba, sooner or later you will repent because mm-hmm. you are saved.
It comes to me right now a story of, the sister Maria from Germany who came here to visit us in South America.
Yeah.
She had a very good friend who was her partner in evangelizing around. And we knew her friend very well, a very beautiful girl who was part of her church in the house. And we had Skype calls with them. And this girl, just recently, a few months ago, she committed adultery against her husband. She has children and a beautiful family. Remember the story that she kind of got called towards the Lord. She committed adultery and she didn't want to confess it and change and repent. And we were quite shocked because this girl has been close to God. She has been active for Jesus. And we were surprised, how can she fall so low? I mean, we thought she's a little stronger. And just a few days ago, Maria wrote saying that she actually repented and she wants to confess it to the husband.
She confess?
She wants to confess it this day to the husband. Okay. She said, even at the risk of losing her marriage, I want to be right with God, she said.
Well, that's the counsel we gave. You must confess.
Yes, yes.
Because they wrote to us and we said, well, sorry, there is no shortcuts here. You have to confess. If you're a Christian, you confess. If you don't confess, then you have to check on your salvation.
And right away, the scripture came to me that if you are truly saved and you have the Spirit of God in you, the Spirit of God brings you to repentance. You cannot live in peace knowing you have the sin without repenting.
Yeah, some people say, well, but then if you eternal salvation, you're going to lose, that's a license to sin. No, in fact, I've got a prophecy about that. Eternal salvation, security of salvation is not license to sin, not at all. Because if you are saved, you don't repent because so you can gain heaven. No, you repent because you love Jesus. Amen. So it's quite different from the Old Testament, where eternal life was always conditioned to righteous obedience, godly works, and so on. Here, Jesus promises eternal, unconditional life and salvation if we only just believe. I know it's shocking, but is real. Praise the Lord.
So, conclusion. If I believe I have everlasting life and I sin, if I repent, it means I've been saved the whole time. And the Holy Spirit brings me to repentance and I change my heart and go back to Jesus. But if I don't repent and I don't change, that means I never got saved because I don't have this...
The fruits of the Spirit.
Exactly. I don't have the Spirit of God guiding me, leading me to repentance.
Exactly.
Because when the Spirit is in you, he tells you, don't go on that path. It's wrong. It's a sin. So the Spirit guides you all the time when you're saved.
You will. You can sin and you will sin.
Yeah.
Okay, I know Christians were into pornography, this and that. Okay. But they didn't lose salvation.
But you learn from your mistakes.
But sooner or later you get out of it. But why? Because you have Jesus in your heart.
Yes.
He's going to help you.
Yes, amen.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save.
So, as we all know, this promise, like a salvation, became possible only because it's based on Jesus' works. His Holy Spirit. His work of sacrifice on Calvary. We don't have to work for it. Because Jesus worked. So because Jesus paid and he atoned for our sins, and because of his death and resurrection that we have this security. So that somebody paid by his works for this, and that somebody is Jesus. So that's a big difference between the book of life that can be raised, you know, because you are dead because of your own works, because of Adam and Eve no eating of the fruits, that would have remained. It was conditioned. Satan, he lost the eternal life and he will go to the lake of fire and everything, but because it was conditioned. But here is a good news. Jesus Christ came. All right.
Amen.
And that's
amen.
The difference between the book of life and the book of the Lamb.
Thank you, Jesus.
So certainly our works are, and our works remain very important. For what? To show that our faith is real and not fake. Okay, you can go to James 2:20 over there. It is a nice scripture I want to check out. So works show that we are Christians and that we are not just repeating some phony religious prayer. The works will show if you just repeated that little poem, Jesus come into my heart, blah, blah, blah. No. Your works have to show that your prayer is real. In James 2:20, 19:20 over there, I have to find it. It says, you have faith, I have works.
All right, it's 18.
18? Good.
James 2:18.
Thank you.
But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.
Understand, you can have faith in Jesus, fake. You repeat the Baptist prayer, the Catholic prayer, whatever prayer, and you think you're saved because you repeated the little poem. You think, I'm saved because I got baptized in water. It was nice, beautiful mineral water, and I repeated the prayer. I'm saved. No, you're not saved until we see the works.
Yes. Yes.
If you don't go witnessing, evangelizing, you don't give the salvation of Jesus to somebody, how do you know you have salvation? A flashlight that doesn't give light. Yeah, you have the plastic, the box, you click, but there's no light coming out. It's not a flashlight. It's a piece of junk. So if you have the salvation of Jesus, you will give it. If you never give it, brother, I suggest 2 Corinthians 5. It says, check on your salvation. Check on your if you have Jesus. Verify if you're saved, truly saved.
It's 2 Corinthians 13:5.
Thank you. It was not 5:13, 13:5. Good. You have it there?
Yes.
Go ahead, shoot.
Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourself. Do not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you. Unless indeed you are disqualified.
Okay, so a lot of Christians, like we can be disqualified, all right, if we don't have the works of Christ. If you have a flashlight with no light, you're not flashlight, any of us. So the fact is that the book of life is not the same as the book of the Lamb. Here is the first one with a salvation based with our works. Let's read. We already mentioned. In Revelation 20:15, there is a book of life based on works. That's a terrible book because you can still be sent to hell, and it's not a very good book. It's a good book for those who make it. It's not a good book for those who don't make it. The real book is the book of the Lamb, okay? In the book of life are only those who never took a decision in heart and deeds to truly give their all to Jesus, such as the story of the young man, the young rich man in Matthew 19.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you have it there. It'd be good to read it. Very good teaching. So we can get a picture about this. Matthew 19:16-23. You have it there?
Yes.
Now behold.
Matthew 19:16. Now behold, one came and said to him, good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So he said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God.
Okay, if you want to enter into life, keep
the commandments.
Okay, so this is a great, great teaching I want to bring out here about salvation. Attention. This is a great revelation. Please tune in. You won't be disappointed. See the difference here between this statement by Jesus and John 6:47, where Jesus says, just believe in me and you're saved. He that believeth in me has eternal life. John 6:47. Here is the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to enter into life, keep
the commandments.
So it's not you believe in me. Can you jump in John 6, 28 to 29? Then they said to him.
John 6, 28.
28 and 29.
And they said to him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he sent."
All right. He didn't say keep the commandments.
And why to the rich young ruler he said keep the commandments?
Of course we have to keep the commandments. But that is not to obtain salvation. Mm-hmm. That is a consequence that you're saved. Mm-hmm. Because if you're not saved, you cannot keep the commandments of Christ. You may try, attempt to keep the commandments of the Old Testament. And when you fail in the Old Testament, you have to go sacrifice animal to make up for it. Okay, but here, see the difference? He says to the rich young ruler, if you want to enter into life, keep the commandment. John 6:47, he that believes in me is saved.
Mm-hmm. So why
I just believe in Jesus, I'm saved, yes. I don't have to do works, no. Of course, you don't do any works to be saved. But once you are saved, if you are truly saved, the flesh life will produce light. You will produce also the works. And if you don't produce the work, your original salvation was false. All right? So, in fact, it tells you, they ask him, what work do we need to do? Just believe. Mm-hmm. He's talking about salvation by grace. All right? So, let's go to Galatians 2:16. I want to make a point here. You see the difference? Okay. Galatians 2:16.
Yes. Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by faith in Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified.
So how in the world if I lose salvation, I can get it back by what works? What works? The works are not enough to get me saved to begin with. They're not enough to keep me saved. So, in other words, once you receive salvation, you don't lose it. Because if you lost it, there is no way you can get it back. In fact, you don't work, you don't get a salvation to begin with through works. Neither you keep it by works. Mm-hmm. Now, let's go back to the rich young ruler. There is a big lesson here, I promised. Let's go to Matthew 19:20 again. The young man said unto him.
Matthew 19:20. The young man said to him, "All these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" And Jesus said to him,
If you want to be perfect,
go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Beautiful.
Now here there is a here I got one of the biggest revelations in my life. Attention. I will do good if we pay attention to the scripture. Why? Jesus just told it's telling this young man that to have life, he needs to keep the law, right or wrong?
Yes.
Okay. But now Jesus adds something to this, which in Mark chapter 10, parallel the same event, the same rich young ruler, he doesn't bring it out. But Matthew 19, he does bring it out. What is that? Jesus talks about another step, a higher level than just simply entering into life. Another step. Okay, first he says, if you want to have life, keep the law. Now he goes to another step higher. Okay, missing in Mark chapter 10. What is that? It's called perfection. A step higher, which can only be, is not the book of life anymore, is the book of the Lamb, is New Jerusalem, is the bride, is the virgin with oil, you understand? Now, Jesus is still talking to this guy here. Jesus hasn't died on the cross, he hasn't resurrected. Jesus is still speaking the language of the Old Testament. He's saying, you want to live? Okay, keep the commandments. You'll be like everybody in the Old Testament. If you keep the commandments, love Moses, which also talks about the Messiah, by the way, it's okay. You have a chance. You can make it. You keep the commandments. For sure, you get through the white throne judgment after the millennium. You stay in Hades for thousands of years. 1,000 years to come. 2,000 past now. It'll be 3,000 years by now. By the time the judgment comes. But in the book of the Lamb is another story. Immediately, like he says, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, I think it says, to be absent of the body is to be present with the Lord. Mm-hmm. 2 Corinthians 5:8. Can you check if it's the right scripture there?
2 Corinthians 5:8. We are confident, yes, while rather well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord.
So, you see, the Book of the Lamb, the moment you die, in that moment, you're present with the Lord. All right? Whereas the Book of Life is a different story. You go to Hades and wait there until the judgment. It's a different story. It's the Old Testament principle. Okay, so Jesus brings up something here which is a mighty revelation. If you want to be perfect, yeah, what do you need to do? It's not enough to keep the commandments like the Pharisees and everybody else who keep it sincerely. But you have to forsake all your money, all your possession, give it to the poor, and then come and follow me. All right? So let's see how this young but confused man reacts. Can you go to verse 22? Matthew 19:22.
Matthew 19:22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly I say to you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God.
Attention, please. Jesus just told this guy, you can enter into life by keeping the commandments. Now he's saying, but to go to the kingdom of God is very hard for a rich guy. So here we see a differentiation. Entering into life and into the kingdom of God, two different things. We will see soon, we'll talk about this, about the new earth, Revelation 21, and New Jerusalem, the kingdom of God. The new earth is where everybody that skips the way through judgment, new earth. Okay, the kingdom of God, the book of the Lamb, they're not wait for the judgment, they go to New Jerusalem. We will study this in a minute. You have some scripture about it.
You did mention before the virgins with oil. Is that also a representation of the Book of the Lamb? Because they are entering the marriage chamber, the New Jerusalem, basically.
Absolutely. I mentioned before, the virgin with oil represents the bride of Christ, absolutely. The 2 Corinthians 11:2 and Revelation 19:7-9 is the bride of Christ. The virgin with oil are certainly the bride, and the marriage chamber can only be one. Revelation 21. I saw New Jerusalem coming down as a bride. So that is the marriage chamber is a parable terminology to say New Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So we are studying here the difference between being saved by keeping the commandments of the law and next, the choice to forsake all that hinders. In the case of this guy, there was money. In somebody else would be pornography. Somebody else would be adultery. Something that stops from receiving Christ in our heart. Okay, I cannot give Jesus my whole heart. I cannot, therefore, be a true Christian, 100% Book of the Lamb, because I cannot forsake pornography. I cannot forsake adultery. I cannot forsake drugs. I cannot forsake some weird religion. I don't overcome this. So you remain in the book of life, which you'll be judged by your works.
And are those the virgins without oil then?
The virgin without oil, I believe they're not the bride of Christ.
No, but are they the people you just mentioned, that they cannot forsake this, they cannot forsake that, yet they believe in Jesus because the Bible calls them virgins and they're even waiting for the Lord's return. So they're not worldly people because the world doesn't wait for Jesus to come back.
No.
But these virgins are waiting for Jesus.
No, so. I cannot put a label on everybody, first of all. However, I can say this. For sure, they're not the bride. They are saved. I agree. They are waiting for they want to get married with Jesus. For sure, they are okay. Christian. So I believe without oil could be the Christians who saved and everything. However, they are not the bride.
No, because they don't enter the marriage chamber.
They don't enter Jerusalem.
Yes.
Jerusalem is the bride. It comes down as a bride. So any Christian is not a bride. Personally, I don't believe. It's my opinion. Nobody has to agree. But I don't think anybody who's not the bride can enter New Jerusalem, which comes down as a bride, Revelation 21.
I see.
So the choice to forsake all the hinders, so to become perfect, so to follow and live and love the Lord unhindered in whatever capacity and job and call that God sees fit for us and that he shows us, okay, it's all here. You can become perfect and forsake all which cost something.
Yes.
In this case of this guy was money. Somebody else would be something else. whatever is the idol that blocks you from giving everything to Jesus, to become the bride. How do you become the bride? How do you do the write your name in the book of Lamb? Well, you have to ask God exactly. I don't know every detail. But for sure, like Jesus said to the rich young ruler, he had to force a call. In this case, it was money hindering. And he went away sorrowful. He had great possessions. Another guy would be a great possessor of TV, computers, and sinful things, which he doesn't want to forsake. All right. So we see in John 5, another point here, a little example of salvation of the book of the Lamb. In John chapter 5, we see an example of the book of the Lamb. Completely, let's go there, John 5. Completely a salvation without works, mm-hmm. without being judged with the wicked. In John 5, jump to verse 24, please.
In John 5, 24.
Attention, here is the book of the Lamb.
Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life.
Can you see here the difference between these guys who are just saved by Jesus and nothing else? No judgment. In other words, the Christian will be judged, as we see in 2 Corinthians 5:10. We will be judged in front of the judgment seat of Christ, yes, but it's not a judgment with the wicked, with possibility of lake of fire. No, this is a judgment. If you Revelation 3:11, will you keep your crown or lose it? Jesus told the best church in Revelation, Philadelphia, be careful. You pass the test, I'll protect you, etc. But you can still lose your crown.
You mean there are two judgments: one for the
Christians,
Christians, and one for the non-believers. In other words, there's a judgment to decide who goes to heaven, who goes to hell, and there's another judgment to decide only for Christians what rewards they get.
Yeah. Yes, you can read it. 2 Corinthians 5:10, the judgment of the Christians.
5:10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad.
Listen, one can be church of Laodicea, be vomited out, but doesn't say lake of fire. It's just Jesus said, just is ashamed. Understand? So the Christian different types: Smyrna, Laodicea, Pergamo. This is just example. Okay, and then there is a Philadelphia, which is an example, an allegory of the bride of Christ. Okay.
All right. This
judgment is to decide who's the bride, who's not the bride, who's going to be an archangel, who's going to be angel, who's going to be under angel, who's going to be sweeping the streets in heaven. I don't know if there are brooms over there. We'll find out.
They don't have dust and dirt.
Who's going
nothing.
To be washing dishes? I don't know if they have dishes. I'm just speaking in symbols.
All right, but this is not any danger anymore of going to hell. This judgment is only for the rewards,
exactly.
To give rewards out.
Exactly. Exactly. Just like in Matthew, I think it's Matthew, book of the parable of the talents, it says that you were faithful with five, here give five cities. 10 talents, give 10 cities, you know. Uh-huh. So the cities will be distributed. The cities is a picture, a parable. I mean, we couldn't have said planets, solar system, and galaxies, but I believe that's what it really means. So in God's kingdom, they'd be kings. See Revelation 5:10, they say, you made us kings, and you made us priests. We will rule forever with you, Jesus. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So there'd be the rewards, will be spread around. Amen?
Yes, and back to John 5:24, which is a different judgment we're talking about.
Yeah.
It says, he who believes in me shall not come into judgment, has passed already from death into life. Has passed. So
yes,
you won't be anymore judged. Oh, you might go to hell because you did something bad. You already passed into life.
Yeah, connect this to John 11,
like
25 and 26.
Guarantee that you are saved.
Guaranteed 100%. Absolutely. Connected to John 11, 25, 26, I believe it's the story of Martha and Lazarus.
John 11, 25. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?
See, Jesus says never. Never is a strong word. never is a strong word.
Yeah, it doesn't say he who believes in me and doesn't sin shall live.
Yeah.
It says he who believes in me.
Yeah, it's not anymore the soul that sins shall die.
No.
He that overcomes shall not be raised. It's all conditional. Jesus knows the difference between conditional and surety. All right? Now, let's go on the other book. So far we studied the book, I said that the book of the Lamb, I said in John 5:24. Now let's go to the other book, which is actually the same chapter, same paragraph, John 5. We can see the difference and the form of judgment of those that have rejected the free salvation of Jesus, who are not in the book of the Lamb, and therefore will be judged according to their works. Big difference. Okay, pay attention to the scripture. Jesus says, John 5:28-29.
John 5:28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of damnation.
You got it? So here the resurrection of life is conditioned to doing good. It doesn't say anymore the blood of Jesus, the grace of Christ, he that believes in me. No.
This is works.
This is the opposite of Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 that says we save not by works which we have done, but by his grace. This is the opposite. This is is the book of life opened after the millennium, Revelation 20, verse 11.
So it's the white throne judgment.
White throne judgment. This is not the book of the Lamb.
Where we read in Revelation 20 that they are judged by works.
Yeah, now read it in context again. John 5:24 and then John 2:28.
John 5:24. Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who has sent me has everlasting life.
Has, now, this second.
And shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life.
Okay, this means no judgment with the wicked. Now jump to 28 and 29.
The same chapter, verse 28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation.
All right, so works. Done good, life. Done evil, condemnation.
So it's two different
resurrection
judgments.
Or condemnation, lake of fire. So it's into different judgment. But this is the book of life, because you can still, by the skin of your teeth, you can still make it.
Yeah.
You make it way to the new earth. And the other guys, New Jerusalem.
Not to heaven. You don't make it to heaven.
No. Revelation 21, I saw new heaven and new earth. So you skip the way through judgment, and you go to the new earth. And it will be more or less like now, just no devil. But if you are in the book of the Lamb, you go to New Jerusalem, comes down as a bride. So which resurrection is he talking about in John 5:29? Those who did evil to the resurrection or condemnation? What resurrection is he talking about? Already we see in this chapter, already two resurrections in this chapter. So in verse 28, he talks about the second resurrection, white throne judgment, after the millennium. In fact, why don't we read it to make things more clear? Let's go to Revelation 20, where we see two resurrections, both resurrections. Let's go. Revelation 20.
Yes.
Go to verse 5. You can start where it says, this is the first resurrection. Revelation 20, verse 5. This is the first resurrection.
This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power.
Okay, second death, all right. Verse 7.
Now when the 1,000 years have expired.
Okay, let's jump 11.
Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Here it says there are many books.
There are many books, you see.
And books were opened, and another book was opened.
Yeah, there are many books. Many books. And not just the book of life, there are other books.
All right. I continue, verse 12. And the dead were judged according to their works, by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. and anyone not found written in the Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire.
You got it? So this is the second death. So somebody does not have Jesus. Many lives does he have? One in the flesh, first death.
Yeah.
And then it remains only one more life. Which one is that?
So
the soul.
So first the flesh dies.
And the flesh the second die, death, first death.
The second death is the soul that dies.
The soul. So
in hell it dies.
In hell, lake of fire.
Okay.
So the soul dies in the second death and is dead. A guy doesn't have Jesus. He's not born again. What else does he have to die?
Only the soul is left.
Yeah, and the second death and dies.
Yes.
So the first death is the flesh.
Yes.
Okay, cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
So here it says the second death, a guy without Jesus, not born again, he only has two lives. One in the flesh and one in soul.
Yeah.
Without Jesus. So when he says the second death, what dies?
The soul.
The soul. Okay, this is another revelation the Lord gave me some time ago, is that in hell nobody lives, nobody suffers. There's no souls in hell. Satanists and the atheists are attacking God all the time. They enjoy his enemies to yell and scream in hell forever. Wrong. 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 It's only the carcasses.
But
go to Isaiah 66.
There is eternal fire that is never quenched.
Yeah. Go to Isaiah 66.
This is a
wonderful revelation the Lord gave me some time ago, that nobody suffers and yells and screams in hell. God is love, does not enjoy the death. I, the Lord, do not enjoy death.
Mm-hmm.
I don't desire, the Lord doesn't desire death of anyone. He doesn't enjoy death, much less suffering forever. You know, long is forever. It's a long time. So the Lord showed me this scripture that proves that in hell nobody suffers. The carcasses, the dead bodies, yes. But no souls. Go ahead. Isaiah 66, go to 24.
Isaiah 66, 24.
66 is a chapter that talks about new heaven and new earth. Attention. He's talking about after the millennium.
Yeah, it says in verse 22, new heavens and the new earth.
Exactly. So this gives you the time period. He's talking about after the millennium.
And verse 24 says, and they shall go forth and look upon the corpses of the men who have transgressed against me. For their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched. They shall be an abhorrence to all flesh.
We said, now read it, the New Living Translations.
The NLT says, and they go out, and they will see the dead bodies of those who have rebelled against me. For their worms that devour them will never die, and the fire that burns them will never go out.
Okay, very clearly. Is it the dead bodies? Doesn't say the living soul screaming and suffering with God and the angel and Jesus, and we enjoying the bad guys yelling and screaming.
No, it doesn't say that.
It says the dead bodies.
That means, like you said before, the soul died in the second death, and it's only some dead bodies that are burning
the
forever
carcasses.
And ever. It says abhorrence to all flesh.
As a warning to future generation, be careful, don't rebel like the Satan did, because that's his end. He will keep it there, like the burning bush of Moses, burning but not consuming. The carcass, it will burn but not consume, but no souls. The souls will die. In fact, it says, he that sins against me, the souls that sins against me shall die. It doesn't say suffer in hell. In hell, only the carcasses. So whatever it says in the whole Bible, they shall be tormented forever, like Revelation 49. It's talking about tormenting the carcass. Why? God is love. He's not going to enjoy the guy screaming there and night. My goodness, says love your enemies. Mm-hmm. See, the Satanists attacking God, blaming God. Say, look, God loves his enemy, wants us to love our enemy. Are you enjoying this enemy yelling and screaming? Say the Satanist. And some atheists.
Yeah.
The answer is no, 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 no. So religion is saying that. The Bible doesn't say that. Amen?
It's because they are confused, because they know that hell will exist forever and the fire will burn forever. So they don't realize, actually, it says about the second death. Nobody ever heard this before, that the second death means the death of the soul.
Yeah.
And that it's only the dead body is burning.
Yeah, it's just a recent revelation that Lord gave me some few years ago, just recently. And also this very scripture says the worm shall not die and the fire is not quenched. Is the same reference that Jesus quoted in Mark chapter 9, the same thing. The worm shall not die, the fire is not quenched. And so people say, look, Jesus said the fire shall not die. Yes, burning the carcasses, not the souls. Got it?
Yes.
Anyway,
yes.
So back to the two books. The second death, souls dies. Second death. So pretty clear. The mystery is solved. Those of us who are truly chosen Jesus, and contrarily to the rich young ruler, have given all to Jesus. And so these guys, these people, are in the book of life. Okay, the book of life is by works, the book of the Lamb is by the blood of Jesus. Amen.
Amen, amen.
So, praise the Lord. So, listen, those, one thing to clarify here, those who make it through the water judgment will be part of what the Bible calls the saved nations, all right? So they are saved by the book of Lamb in Jerusalem. And then there are saved nations, not one nation in Christ, no, many nations, all right? Which will be outside New Jerusalem. But we did this, we should read it, Revelation 21, 10 to 24.
So here you're saying the people who were judged by their works, because they never received Christ as a Savior, at the end of the millennium, at the White Throne Judgment, they're judged by the works, and we're reading about them right now.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So Revelation 21, 10.
We read that. Revelation 21, 10 until 24.
And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God.
Jump to 23, please.
The city had no need of the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. The lamp is its light, and the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it.
So you understand, the nation of those who are saved, okay, this is Revelation 21, after Revelation 20, the judgment of the white throne. These are the people who made it through the white throne, did not get thrown to the lake of fire. This is after the millennium, and surviving the white throne judgment, they make it into the new earth. They shall walk at the light, just like we walk now at the light of the moon. They shall walk on the light of the new Jerusalem. It's a kind of symbolic here, you understand?
So when it says nations of those who are saved, that means saved from hell at the at the white throne judgment.
Exactly.
But they don't make it to heaven. They make it only.
They don't
to
make
the
it
new
to
earth.
Heaven, New Jerusalem, because they shall walk at the light of the New Jerusalem.
Mm, yeah.
Okay, because in verse 27 we read only those written in the book of the Lamb. Okay, now let's jump to Revelation 21, verse 10. So this nation do not enter New Jerusalem, this nation. Revelation 21, 10 and 24.
And he carried me away in the spirit and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem,
descending
out of heaven from God.
From God, 24.
And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it.
26.
And they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the back in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Okay, so 24 says the nation of those who are saved, okay, white throne judgment, shall walk in its light. The no enter, walk in its light, is different. Okay, and the kings of the earth shall bring the glory and honor into it. Only the kings can go. Who are these kings? Revelation 5:10.
Revelations 5:10. 9. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth."
Okay, you have made us kings and priest, we shall reign on the earth. So when he says the king shall bring their honor into New Jerusalem, he's talking about those of us that God will appoint to be kings over the earth.
Living in New Jerusalem.
Living in Jerusalem. Because they can enter into the New Jerusalem, these guys, these kings.
Yes.
It says only those who read the book of the Lamb. But only the kings can enter in, bring in their honor and glory. But I don't know, there will be new souls that become the bride of Christ from the new earth. We don't know that. We'll see.
Okay.
We'll figure out what that's going to be. So therefore, the above nation we've been talking about will clearly live outside the city of New Jerusalem, because only their kings can enter in. So the nations cannot enter in. Okay, that's why at every door in New Jerusalem there is an angel to guard it. All right? So read Revelation 22 now, please, 14 and 15.
Revelation 22:14. Blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life, and they may enter through the gates of the city. But outside are the dogs and sorcerers and sexually immoral and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loves and practices a lie.
In the sense, I would say there's going to be a lot of people who are sexually immoral, sorcerer, murderer, idolater, outside, who are not cannot enter in Jerusalem because they're not written in the book of life. Why? They are sorcerer, immoral, murderers, idolaters. They love and practice to lie.
But does
it look like the book of the Lamb to you?
No, but if they are so
weird,
strange, I mean, sinners, how come they escape the white throne judgment by works?
And that you can ask God, because God is love, and I guess he has a measuring stick, which we don't understand. And that's
you would think these people are in hell.
You would think, yeah.
But actually, they're on the new earth.
After the judgment
by works.
They are bad, but they're not too bad, according to God's measuring stick.
Okay.
And I don't know, according to God's points of view, there is hope for them to learn lessons. Remember, there won't be the devil around anymore, so things will not go from worse to worse as it is now in this Antichrist world. All right, until the Antichrist comes and it really get bad completely. But that will be just for 3.5 years, and then Armageddon, Jesus comes, everything is solved. No, there won't be devil, so this guy can only, just like now the world goes from worse to worse to worse, then we get from better to better to better. You got it?
All right, so...
Like the devil won't be around, that will make a sensitive difference.
So even though they are full of sins, these people, they have a chance to actually change because they are not closed. They are actually open.
Yeah.
They have open hearts, I guess.
Yeah, and those of us in San New Jerusalem, pray we will be, God's grace, okay, we'll come out of New Jerusalem bringing them some medicines.
Medicines,
yes. From New Jerusalem, we will bring a medicine. That this medicine will heal them from all their immorality, murder, idolatry, etc. So what medicine are we going to be bringing to them from New Jerusalem to them? Revelation 22:2.
In the midst of its street and on either side of the river...
Yeah, wait, read again. We are talking about New Jerusalem here, okay?
Revelation 22:2.
Yes.
In the middle of its street and on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healings of the nations.
Okay. Is this the New King James reading?
Yes.
New King James. Very good. So, the leaves of the tree of life, all right, is for the healing of what?
Of the nations.
Do you understand? So these guys, the murderers, the idolaters outside, the witch with the skin of the teeth, all right, they made it through the wet throne judgment into the new earth. All this is like the Jehovah's Witness, they always show that picnicking in heaven, all the things. They always show new earth picnicking. But one thing Jehovah's Witnesses don't understand is that there will be much picnicking because they'll be murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, and people who love to practice lies. It won't be just picnicking all the time. So just like now we go around evangelizing, bringing the leaves of the tree of life. Who's the tree? Jesus Christ. And right now we preach through our radio, through internet. We also attract, we distribute. Another missionary like us, or better than us, they go around giving leaflets. Leaf of the tree. The tree is Jesus spiritually. And these tracts you give out are like the leaves of this. I'm speaking in parable, okay? So in the millennium, in fact, after the millennium, Revelation 21 and 22 is after the millennium. So from the New Jerusalem, those inside will come out with the leaves, the leaves of the tree of life. What that's going to be exactly, just ask the Lord, they will tell you. So I don't have all the answers.
So that's how the nations will get healed spiritually.
Exactly. That's why the kings of the earth bring the glory into it. Because I believe, this is just my opinion, this. It's not written in the Bible, this, I think. I believe the people in the earth that receives the healing, spiritual healing, all the leaves of the tree of life, will get out of the murdering idolaters, etc. And then maybe they eventually, one day, maybe, they become the bride of Christ. They can also go in, some of them. But this, I don't know, this is not written. This is just an opinion. Got it? So, praise the Lord. So now, these nations live outside New Earth, and they're quite different from the Book of Lamb, the people of the Book of the Lamb that live inside the city. Okay,
yes.
See Revelation 21, 2 and 3. Can you read that?
Revelation 21, 2 and 3. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God.
Okay, so the tabernacle is the
Thank
New Jerusalem,
Jesus.
Basically.
Beautiful.
These people inside the city, they appear very much to be like those of Jump, Revelation 7:9. Okay, Revelation 7:9, this seem to be apparently the people who are inside New Jerusalem. Okay, 9 until 17.
Revelation 7:9-17. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands.
Okay, white robes, Revelation 19:7-9, it says they are the works of the saints, talking about the bride of Christ. Verse 13, who are these?
Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from?
Where do they come from? 14, so he said unto me.
So he said to me, these are the ones who come out of the great tribulation, and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple.
Okay, so it seems to me, somebody corrects me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me these are the ones inside New Jerusalem, the bride of Christ, apparently. So here is a little word about one thing important, our salvation. Like I want to talk about our guarantee of our salvation in Christ. Okay, number one, we already have Jesus' eternal life. 1 John 5:11 to 13. Leave it like this, do we want to read it?
We can repeat maybe the reference so people can write it down.
Yeah. In Revelation, 1 John 5:11, 13, it says, we have now the second eternal life. Period. No, after we are judged, if we are worthy. No. We have now 1 John 5:11. After that. Next, number two, our salvation is neither acquired, neither is kept by our good works, but strictly gifted by Jesus. And Jesus does not take his gifts back. The gifts of God are without repentance. Romans, I think, chapter 11. And what do you say? Ephesians 2:9. Can you read the reference, please? Can you help?
Yes.
Thank you.
Ephesians 2:8-9. Titus 3, verse 5, John 10, 28, and John 11, 25, and 26.
What did you say?
We read.
Yeah, what did you say? No works, by grace, we already received it, period.
Yes.
Okay, next, Romans 8, 35 plus until 39. God's word promises that nothing will separate us from him. Romans 8, 35 to 39. Next. Our salvation is now, this moment, this second. It is sealed and it is guaranteed. Can you read Ephesians 1:13? Your salvation?
Ephesians 1:13. Your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise.
Okay. Sealed. Sealed. You sealed like when you put something, under the water, you close it up. Sealed, the water doesn't go in. The airtight, we're sealed. Airtight, what kind of air? Ephesians 2:2, what does it say? The spirit of the power of the air. Who is that? The devil. So we are sealed airtight against the devil's air. Amen. We are sealed, but there is more. 2 Corinthians 5, 1-5. Just quick. We have a building.
2 Corinthians 5, 1-5. We have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens.
Okay, we have. Not tomorrow, not after the white throne judgment. We some Christians even believe that we go through the white throne judgment. We don't. Our judgment, the 2 Corinthians 5, 10, the moment we are raptured, or the moment we die of old age, forever, bang! 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. Now, this second, immediately. people had experience of life after death. They said it was like coming out of a room, entering another, out of my body, bang, in heaven. All right, that took 1,000 years. That's for the unbeliever. That's for people who don't have Jesus Christ. Okay, where are we?
Verse 5,
yeah,
in 2 Corinthians 5.
Yeah.
God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee.
Wow. So, get this. We are sealed, number one. And number two, we have a guarantee. Okay. In another place on Bible translation, we have the down payment. All right. Of the Holy Spirit.
There's also a beautiful scripture in 1 Peter 1, 3 and 4. It says, God has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fades not away, reserved in heaven for you.
Yeah, praise God.
Wow, it's reserved in heaven for me.
In another place it says, he has given us the earnest of salvation. What's the earnest? It's a down payment. You want a house, you pay out for the price, and that's it.
Yes, so amen,
so
amen.
Jesus has given us, quotes, half of the price, quotes, unquote. He has given us the earnest, the down payment of our... Because why? Because we would have to die to go to get the whole thing. We have to go to heaven, and we don't want to come back anymore.
Amen.
Anybody who's been in heaven had experienced the one thing in common, they don't want to...
Come back.
Come back, yeah.
And it says the inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled. In other words, it's mine. Even my sins cannot defile it. It cannot corrupt it.
Amen. Now, listen, there is a little joke in that doctrine that just bounces around. Some people say, wait, I can still renounce my salvation. But boy, it must really be a little strange. No, sir, you cannot renounce your salvation. Why? This is because, thank God, parenthesis, it's not for us to decide that. See, spiritual suicide in hell is not an option God has given us. Understand? Like, I have 6 children, and they, Gabriel, God bless you, you're here. Hey. I remember you were climbing the wind all the time. Mm-hmm. So one day I took you, and I showed you, say, look, if you fall, what happens? And you feel, oh, you thought you were falling off the window. And I push you out a little bit. I used to scream, ah, I used to scream. So from that day, that's it. He didn't go anymore, play games on the window. Praise God. Yeah. So what I'm saying is God is not going to allow you to fall off into the lake of fire. You're going to put some protections around, spiritual protection. You simply cannot commit spiritual euthanasia. You cannot abort yourself. You cannot commit suicide and say, I want to go to the lake of fire with the devil is feeling lonely. No. First of all, you are not going to be so stupid to want to do that. Number one. And number two, even if theoretically it would be possible, which I don't think is possible, you're not going to desire that.
Not if you're saved. Not if you have Jesus in your heart.
Of course.
I understand somebody who's a Satanist might say that he never had Jesus inside. But somebody who knows Jesus would never think like that.
Of course. Of course. So God is not going to allow that. So now, nobody, and I say nobody, can go to the tree of knowledge, like our dear Adam and Eve, and commit suicide, kill himself, because the terrible tree has now been taken away from our paradise of God in the New Jerusalem. That is, it's called the paradise of God. That was the paradise of Adam and Eve. But then there is another paradise, Revelation chapter 2 and 3, which says the paradise of God. That's New Jerusalem. It's a different paradise. Okay, that's it's called, it's in New Jerusalem. So, the tree of good and evil, which was in the first paradise, okay? It has been replaced now by the book of life of the Lamb, do you understand? Now we cannot go there and take, okay, I want to listen to the devil. No, the devil is in like a fire, goodbye, okay? And that has been replaced. And even now that the devil is still around, I have Jesus in my heart, and the devil better not get near, because Jesus will slam his sword on his head and break his horn and his teeth and his hooves and chop him, slice him up like a salami. That is Jesus in my heart. And the devil can do nothing to me, and not to you, and not to anyone who has Jesus, not because we are more powerful than the devil, because Jesus is, and Jesus is in my heart, and you devil better stay away. He give us trouble, he can send some arrow, fiery darts, okay, make me fall in sin today, and in pornography tomorrow, God deliver me, but Jesus will pull me out every time in the name of Jesus Christ.
He is faithful, even when we are unfaithful, it says in Timothy.
Amen.
Amen.
So, I want to say one more point. Our life does not belong to us any longer. We cannot renounce that because our life is no longer ours, but it's Christ. Look, Angela, did you receive a gift sometime, a perfume or something? And I say, I decided to renounce Angela's gifts. She got a perfume.
Hey.
I decided to renounce your perfume, Angela.
And excuse me, you can renounce yours if you want.
Angela, I decided to renounce your lipstick.
Hey, excuse me. It's mine.
I don't know what else you have, a necklace, what else you possess.
Well, not much, but enough.
I decide to renounce your earrings.
Why? They're mine.
Gabriel, God bless you. I decide to renounce your smartphone. That's a tough one. So listen, can I do that?
No.
Why?
You can renounce only your things, not mine.
1 Corinthians 6:20. What does it say? You have it there, right?
1 Corinthians 6:20,
yes.
For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's.
So, can you renounce a life which you don't have? It belongs to Jesus?
Which are God's.
I was bought with a price, the blood, most precious price, God had to come down from heaven to die on a cross for me, to buy me from the devil, the slave driver who was selling us for cheap. Jesus comes and says, I'll buy everything, my blood, and the devil couldn't say anything. God, the judge said, done. Okay. So nobody could anybody offer more than the blood of Jesus?
No.
There is a bidding going on, an auction going on in this world. There is a slave driver here, a certain guy, we've probably heard about him. He has a couple of horns on his head. And he's selling us to the multinationals, to here, to there, to the drug dealer, to some brothel. He's trying to sell us, okay, for cheap. Here comes Jesus, I'll buy all. I'm actually giving my blood. What can the devil say to that? Nothing, because God from heaven shuts him off. So can we renounce our life now?
No.
It says
the scripture before, it says, you are not your own. Your body and your spirit are God's.
What is that? 1 Corinthians 6:19?
6:19. You are not your own.
Wonderful. Thank you, Angela. Always on the ball. Angela, can you jump to 1 John 5:20, please? Thank you. God bless you.
1 John 5:20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord. So we are in him, him who, in his Son Jesus Christ, okay, we are inside Jesus. How's the devil going to come here and say, okay, I decided to get this guy lose salvation? The devil cannot say that. Can we renounce? No, Jesus is going to give us a good kick in the back.
No, because you're the temple of the Holy Spirit, and Jesus is supposed to rule your life and control your heart, and therefore you cannot take this kind of decisions.
Go back to Revelation 13:8 and read it, please. Thank you.
Revelation 13:8. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world.
Yeah, I want to repeat this scripture, because it's impossible for those in the book of the Lamb to deny Jesus, even receive the mark of the beast. And keep in mind, be mandatory, obligatory, antichrist, ori, and worldwide. Okay? No, it says, all except those in the book of the Lamb. Amen? So this means, as we read, those in the book of the Lamb are fully protected, fully sealed from falling or denying, or even receive the mark of the beast, which is coming. I believe it comes soon sometime. I don't know when exactly, but I believe it will be around one of these days. Now they start with mandatory vaccination in many parts of the world. In Europe, Italy, we see people, the brethren complain, they're forcing them to get the vaccinations. And soon it's going to be the microchip, which I believe the Mark of the Beast will be a microchip, is my opinion. I'm not alone. But anyway, whatever it is, don't take it. So in the soon coming tribulation of the Antichrist, all these bad things are going to come. Listen, if anybody is interested for more scriptural informations, scriptural, you know, not opinions. Angie, can we invite them to follow?
Yeah. Yes, we have our radio address, radioblast.net, and also our YouTube account where we have lots of messages in English called EndTime7777. Or you can simply write your questions to our email, info@radioblast.net.
Okay, so InfoBlast.
info@radioblast.net.
Fine. So we broadcast in different languages. Lately, we're pushing a little bit Italian because, after all, I'm Italian and not, it's a nice language. If somebody wants
to
learn,
nice.
You can learn for free.
It's beautiful.
All right. Okay, I cannot teach you English. Okay. But I just said my accent is for free. There's no overcharge.
So, conclusion, I want to say real quick. So, we are studying scriptures that prove that you cannot lose your salvation. If you are truly saved and truly have Jesus in your heart, it's not that you get saved by grace and then you keep your salvation by works. And the first time you sin, you lose your salvation. You repent, again you get saved. You sin, again you lose your salvation. Like, once you got saved, if it's a real salvation, truly from God, and you have Jesus and you have fruits of salvation, then you remain saved even if you will make mistakes in your life. Because the Holy Spirit that's in you will always bring you back to Jesus, to repentance, to walking with Him, learning your lessons. So you don't keep yourself saved by works. And I want to add just one last scripture to this in Galatians. It's very powerful, the scripture. It says, "Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Having began in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh?"
Amen.
So do you keep yourself saved by the flesh? Galatians 3, verse 2 and 3.
Amen, amen. Praise God. So it's all on Jesus, okay?
Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus keeps us saved. His love will keep us saved.
Amen, because the rapture is coming one of these days. I believe it's going to be a certain specific time after the tribulation. Well, many people don't believe
the rapture
that.
Is another controversial question that many people are wondering. Is it before or after the tribulation? It's difficult to realize because everybody believes God is love and doesn't want us to stay here and suffer during the Great Tribulation and the Antichrist Kingdom.
Yeah.
In the same time, what do the scriptures say? That's the point.
Yeah, I want to thank the Lord. The Lord has given us a lot of revelations about the rapture. We have a lot of scriptures about it. Many scriptures, only scriptural. So remember we used to go preach in churches. They used to translate for me.
Yes.
In Eastern Europe.
Yes.
And we would go to church and the pastor would ask her that way, "Oh, Brother Joseph, you're going to preach on the rapture, so you're going to preach is before or after?" What would I answer, remember?
So, well, I'd read you what the Bible says, and I won't tell you when the rapture is. I just read you the scriptures, and I will ask you at the end, the congregation, to tell me when the rapture is.
You really like that.
It always worked. It was beautiful.
they were flipped.
It was very nice.
I say, "Look, I give you scriptures. And then you tell me if it's before or after." I think, "Oh, that's great."
And
so we go from scripture to scripture to scripture to scripture to scripture. And they were kind of shocked. And at the end, they had to admit the rapture was after.
After the Great Tribulation.
Okay, here. Well, real quick, there are many ways. There are six or seven different ways I prove it for different scriptures. But can I just go quickly through one? A few seconds, real quick.
Yes.
Okay, so read Revelation 25:1-5.
Revelations 20, yeah. 4 and 5.
Super quick. If you want to the full study on this, then tune in.
We have detailed study of the rapture with many scriptures proving it, like you said, from 6-7 different ways. And it's published on our radio site.
Yeah, so you can go there and then you can...
Or you can write in and I'll send you the link. So
okay.
I read Revelation 20.
Yeah. You can make a full study. It takes a while, but here I just show you one scriptural path, which is probably going to be the first time you hear this. So you have to pay attention to the scripture, all right? Very much attention, because the scripture will show you the rapture is before or after. Okay, real quick, Revelation 20:4-5.
4 and 5. "Then I saw thrones, and the people sitting on them had been given the authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded for their testimony about Jesus and for proclaiming the word of God. they had not worshipped the beast or his statue, nor accepted his mark on their forehead or their hands. They all came to life again, and they reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Okay, this is the first resurrection. The rest of the dead did not come back to life until the 1,000 years had ended.
Okay, so real quick, what do we see here? So question number one in these two scriptures, what's first? It talks about the tribulation.
Martyrs, yeah.
It talks about the martyr, the mark of the beast, definitely the tribulation, three and a half years. You can see Revelation chapter 13, 42 months. Okay, the question is, to see the rapture here, okay, the question is, number one, attention. You need pen and paper, otherwise you get confused. Pen and paper. So write number one. Then number one, you write, what's first in this script, in these passages? First the tribulation or the resurrection? You can answer, Angie.
Well, first they see the martyrs who were killed, beheaded. So it's the great tribulation. And then afterwards they resurrect and reign with Christ 1,000 years. First the tribulation, then the resurrection.
Yeah, of course, you cannot resurrect if you first don't get martyred.
Right.
So first is what?
The tribulation.
Second?
The resurrection.
Okay, one more passage of scripture, and then we'll close it right there.
So we write this down. First, the great tribulation, number one. Number two, the resurrection.
If you don't write, you're not going to. At least I get confused. I don't know if somebody with a better brain than mine. So let's jump to 1 Thessalonians 4:15 until 17.
1 Thessalonians 4:15.
Yeah, can you read in the New Living Translation?
Okay. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then, together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever.
Okay, wonderful. So even the passage before, Revelation 24:5, it was from the New Living Translations. This also. Okay, pen and paper. So in this passage, 1 Thessalonians 4:15-17, all right, you say we that we are still living when the Lord returns, we'll meet the Lord in the air. It hasn't happened, rapture hasn't happened yet. Okay, here again the same question. So in this passage, 1 Thessalonians 4:15-17, what do we see first?
We see two events here. The rapture and the resurrection.
Right. The events here are resurrection and rapture. Okay, there's no tribulation here.
No.
Okay, but we get into the rapture. Attention. So in these two events, resurrection and rapture, what do we see first?
Well, Paul says that those alive will not meet Jesus ahead of those who are dead. He says, first the Christians who died will rise from their graves, and then we who are alive, we will be taken, caught up in the air.
Yeah.
So first the resurrection, and then the rapture.
So then number one is what?
The resurrection of the dead from their graves.
Okay, we need to write it down.
Okay.
Essential. And second, we see what?
That the rapture of those alive who are caught up in the air.
Okay, so first the resurrection.
Yes.
Second is the rapture.
Yes.
Okay, now, pen and paper, write down 1, 2, 3. Putting all the scripture together. Revelation 20, verse 25. 1 Thessalonians 4:15-17. Now, put them together as one passage, okay?
Okay.
So, first is what? First event?
In Revelation 20, it was the tribulation.
Yes, second?
And then the resurrection.
Okay, and then third?
And then in Thessalonians was the resurrection.
Yeah.
And then the rapture.
Okay, good. So, the right sequence is what?
Tribulation, resurrection, rapture.
Exactly.
So what we did, we put together the two events we found in Revelations 20 with the two events we find in 1 Thessalonians 4, and we find out there's a perfect progression, and we can understand when the rapture will be, because we arrived to the conclusion that the first event is tribulation, the second resurrection, and the third rapture. But there are many other scriptures that prove it. This is just one way, which is a little intricated, but in Matthew 24 it says very clearly when the rapture is. It's written black on white. We go to Matthew 24, verse 29 it starts. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, the stars will fall from heaven, the powers of the heaven will be shaken. This is in Matthew 24:29. And then next verse, verse 30 says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So we see here the rapture, because Jesus sends his angels, but in verse 29, it told us very clearly when. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, that's when he sends his angels, he comes back for the rapture with a great sound of a trumpet. Thank you, Jesus. So, Joseph, I read Matthew 24:29, what it says very clearly, that it's after the tribulation, Jesus comes back. So that's even very simple to understand.
Exactly, exactly. Very good explanation. You make a very good prophecy teacher.
No. Very, 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 very small one.
So listen, we invite you again to follow us in YouTube if you want to more explanation on this. However, I was praying about this little message, and I heard a little, heard the voice of the Lord. I took some notes, got a little prophecies, and with your permission, I would like to share it.
Yes.
Angela, may I?
Yes, please. Please do.
So, it's a little message from Jesus. Jesus says, my beloved, think it not strange that my love and assurance of salvation never leaves nor forsakes you. Why should I need to use the leverage of fear of hell to give my assurance of salvation? Am I not all powerful? Isn't my love the most formidable power of the universe and of the whole heaven? Why should I use fear, distress, and anxiety to guide my children to me? Isn't my love the best of all weapons? Yes, it is. I am love, and this is my nature. Would you want a spouse that has chosen you for fear of you? Truly, the fear of me is the beginning of wisdom, but love is still greater. The greatest is and will always be love and my love. My arms are outstretched to all. Come to me. Not because of fear, nor terror of hell, but come because I am love and I love you. And I was dead because of my love for you, but I have raised again, and I am alive, so that all who sincerely believe and truly receive me with all their hearts can be saved and be in my kingdom with me and the loving Father forever. I have given my life for you, and I'll do it again if needed, but it's not needed. For now my Holy Spirit will lead all to repentance and to my salvation. Come, O dying world, come to me. Why will you die, O lost ones? Come, because I, the Lord, have no pleasure in the death, and not in your death. And you don't need to die, because I have done it for you and in your place. Will you come to me, O stray ones, to my truth, and to my free salvation of the gospel? You have tried all in the world, all you could. Will you now also give me at least one honest, full-hearted chance to prove my love and my salvation to you, and the truth of my eternal heaven to you? No, you don't have to become another religious person. No, I, Jesus, attach no strings to my salvation. It is free for the asking and for the believing. Remember my promise. It's eternal.
John 6:47. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes has eternal life.
No, you don't have to become a Protestant, a Catholic, or anything, except to join the loved ones, the happy ones, the saved Christian ones. Those who forever, forever and wherever they are, and whatever church they happen to belong. Because of giving their heart to me, they are now eternally part of my one and united and heavenly body, and by the one doctrines of my eternal gospel. And all this because of the love and forgiveness and the justice. One will say, but will this eternal assurance not be a license to sin? I say, can you not trust in my discernment? Did I not say that if even Adam and Eve, after they sinned, if they had partaken of the tree of life, did I not say that even they would have lived forever? Why is it so hard to believe what I said, as it is written?
John 5:24. I tell you the truth. Those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life.
Fear not, therefore, I, the Lord, am well aware who are those who seek their convenience in some form of false faith. Those of whom I said, depart from me, for I know you're not. Fear not, for I well know whom they are, who, while being highly revered and called first, are really last in my eyes, and are of the so-called Laodicean in my kingdom, because they sought their own and only used me for their interest, not my glory, not my kingdom, not my sheep, and not me only. But to you that seek me and my name and my kingdom, I will say to you in that day.
Matthew 25:23. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.
End of the message from Jesus.
Thank you, Brother Joseph, for this beautiful message from Jesus, very encouraging. But especially I want to say thank you, Jesus, for all the scriptures that he wrote in the Bible for us, so we can clarify our ideas and understand exactly how salvation works and how to stay saved and stay close to him, because that's our heart desire, to stay close to him forever. And now it's our time to learn. This is the time for our lessons. This life, it's a big school to learn how to be close to him in eternity. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, that the scriptures are clear and we could understand very well how to remain saved.
Yes, yes, praise the Lord. Okay, I hope you understood everything. Of course, I have a strong Italian accent, so I have a little patience. I like the way in the prophecy Jesus said, even Adam and Eve, after they sinned, if they would have partaken of the tree of life, they would have lived forever. Imagine. Them who had sinned were condemned to death, even they are partakers of the tree of life. But that's why God had to send them out of the Garden of Eden. So with this, dear brethren, we bless you, we love you, we pray for you. And we just, with this blessing, we leave you, and so you can.
Amen.
We see you next time, and we pray for the Lord's blessing to mightily be overflown on all of you. May the Lord bless you in your evangelizing, your witnessing, your sharing, your love, your salvation to the people around you, when you can, whenever you can, to whoever you can, with all your heart. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. And write to us. We love you, we bless you, we pray for you.
Amen. God bless you. Big hug.
Amen. Praise God.
Never failing. Savior, the hope of nations. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Shine your light and let the whole world see. Shine your light and let the whole world see. So take me as you find me. All my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow.